Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Your parents are becoming very part and parcel of what God is doing here. And to God be all the glory. Lift your hands and appreciate God for that. All right, lift your hands and celebrate God for that. You know, it appears that we are a church of, youth, young people. Some people assume it's just youthful exuberance. But thank God. I mean, and I've studied most big ministries, all right? They start with students, glory to God. Reverend Chris Oyakhilome started with students. And that's a role model in charismatic ministry in Africa and the world at large. Say loud amen. Amen. All right, yeah. Billy Graham started with students, glory to God forevermore. All right, so we're so glad that some of you will get messages from your parents, all right, text message, all right, many of you that we've even lost count. And that shows that we are making impact. I say we're making impact. And hear me by the word of the Lord, this impact will reach to the ends of the earth. Amen. Amen forevermore. Please, you can have your seat. God bless you. Hallelujah forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. All right, we thank God for Faith Life Conference 2022. And today being the last session, He always reserves the best for the last. And God is a God, all right, who have said in His word that the path of the just is like a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. I'm sure by now you all know this church is a faith church. We are a faith people. So faith life is our life. Glory to God forevermore. We preach faith, we talk faith, we live by faith, and we make things happen by faith. Glory to God forevermore. We preach faith. Myself, I'm a faith teacher. Glory to God. You all know that. That's what I live for. I was born to preach the word of faith. Glory to God forevermore. Yeah. So, I want you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11. Let's kick off from where we stopped yesterday. I hardly teach single messages. So, I'm just going to say part two of what I began yesterday. Understanding our normal. I made it clear to you yesterday that the faith life is the normal life for the believer. The word of faith is also the seed of God. It is also the word by which we're born. You see, when you got born again, you heard the word of faith. The Bible says in the book of Romans 10, Apostle Paul says, the word of faith which we preach. What is the word of faith which we preach? That if thou confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that means the Lordship of Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So it's salvation. So we were saved by the word of faith. Give it to me, Romans 10 and verse 8. Let's look at it very well. Romans 10 and from verse 6. Romans 10 and verse 6. Give it to me. Media, the Bible tells us, all right, it says, for what seeth it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth, even in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Can you see that? Then it goes on. What is that word of faith which we preach? That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we were saved by the word of faith. Say, I was saved by the word of faith. You didn't say like you mean it. Say, I was saved by the word of faith. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, the Bible tells us the same thing. It says that we're born of the incorruptible seed, incorruptible sperma of God's word. In other words, the parent material by which we were born anew is the word of God. It's the same way in the physical. All right, your natural parent material, scientists tell us that your body was given to you by your mom. It's called the somatic cell. Where they got the cell from is from the egg. The egg is what forms the soma. Soma means body. Then the natural life that flows in you was given to you from your dad's sperm. So it was the fusion of these two. These are the two parent materials that formed you naturally. But he that is born of the flesh is flesh. But he that is born of the spirit is what? So your natural birth was by the coming together of your dad and your mom. But your spiritual birth, all right, so the parent material, the zygote that formed you that you are right now, was a contribution of your dad's seed and your mom's egg that forms zygote. But in the same vein, you were born anew, but this time around, the parent material is the word of God. So you were sourced from the word of God, the seed, the incorruptible seed of God's word. The word of faith gave back to you. Guess what? The same way it is a natural principle. In the book of Genesis, fishes were made from water. So fishes dwell in water. Come on, talk to me. Animals were made from ground. God commanded animals, cattle, to come out from the ground. That's why they live on the products that comes from the ground. It's a natural principle. You were sourced from the word. That's why you've got to live consistently by the word of faith. Because the word of faith gave birth to you. Are you listening to me? You were born by the incorruptible seed. That's why you have to keep living by it. It's your sphere. So just the same way fishes swim in water, the believer lives by faith because faith is our normal. That's what I made clear to you yesterday, that faith is our normal. We were born of the word of faith. We live by faith. We got saved by faith. We are justified by faith. Guess what? We are going to continue still living by faith because born by faith, fed by faith, we keep feeding our faith with the same word because that word of faith is our parent material. That's why we cannot jettison the preaching of the word of faith. And I believe God has raised me to do one of those, to be one of those that will ensure the, because God will always make sure that in every generation, the standard is kept. And that's why we preach the word of faith. Praise God forevermore. With miracles following. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Of course, the first miracle you see, the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in your heart, that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So salvation is the first miracle. And I told you, I said, one of the most amazing things I love about Christianity is that Christianity is a faith of objective instructions. There are always, you know, examples to follow, patterns to imitate. There is a mold to be conformed into. You cannot approach the word of God and be left indifferent. There's always a pattern to follow. And it also tells us that there is nothing mystical in Christianity. Spirituality can actually be systematic. In fact, it is systematic. For instance, I told you, as great and highly spiritual as salvation is, it is a spiritual occurrence, yet you can make it happen every day. The principle is in the word. You preach the word, the sinner hears it and is saved. The same thing, as spiritual as prayer is, Jesus goes to pray. The disciples saw the effect and they say, teach us to pray. And he tells them, pray this way, our Father. You see, spiritual things can be learned. There is nothing spooky or mystical or personal about spiritual things. They can be learned. You just need to be in the right place where you will be taught. And that's what we're doing in this congregation. That's what we're doing in this church. By the Spirit of God and through the teaching ministry, we are building you up, training you, getting you acquainted with God's modus operandi. God has an MO, modus operandi, with which he operates. And I showed you yesterday, I said, look, faith is our normal. The same way fish swims in water, that's the same way also we live by faith, because we were sourced from the word of faith in the first place. The word of faith which we preach, that's what we heard. That's why every attempt of the devil is to get you cut off from the word of faith. And by the way, for your information, what the devil is after is not your health. What the devil is after is not your money. What the devil is after is not your family. What the devil is after, the word of God that guaranteed your safety. The word of God that guaranteed your prosperity. The word of God that guaranteed your health. That's what he wants to steal. Because once he steals it, he has gone. You see, the word of God is what produces those things. And that's, look, all through the scripture, we have seen that the devil is always against God's word. For example, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, we saw the first temptation that was recorded for us. We saw how that Satan tempted Eve. And he said, the temptation came thus. He says, as God said, and the woman confused, I believe the man didn't do his good, he didn't do his job well. He didn't educate the woman well. That's why husbands need to learn to teach their wife well. I believe she didn't do well. You keep eating it until it's so full, until you are full of the word and you become word automated. Such that, you see, when a foam is soaked with water, what, whenever, everywhere you touch, what comes out? Come on, talk to me, what comes out? When you are full of the word, if anxiety comes, touches you, what will come out? The word will respond. Sickness try to catch you, what will respond? The word will respond. So you must be full of the word of faith. This conference is not something that we thought up in our head. It's a mandate. And quote me, this conference will outlive me. Outlive till Jesus comes. Because guess what? It is God's agenda. Like I told you yesterday, I said, you have to understand that as powerful as a positional truth can be, what do I mean by positional truth? That means our realities, our right in Christ. It doesn't automatically equate to your experience. You have to participate in it for it to be your experience. And the way you participate is by faith. And faith uses words. So you have to be taught. Because faith is the mechanism with which we appropriate the things that grace makes available for us in Christ. I understand that in the body of Christ we have issues where there are extreme grace and there is extreme faith, extreme spirit. You know, there are basic three camps, so to speak. I hate to talk about this in the body of Christ, especially in Nigeria. So you have those who are on the spirit camp. All right, they're always fasting. All right, they go and pray. All right, go to the mountain. They do 20, 50 days prayer. All right. And that's beautiful. But we need one another. We need all of us together. So if you were brought up at home, all right, in a church where all they do is pray, and that was where I was brought up to, we pray on soap, we pray on sponge, we pray before we enter, we pray on our clothes, we sprinkle everything with prayer, everything prayer. Good! Don't kill the zeal. And if you were brought up in church where they say, die, die, oh my enemy, die. All the prayer is enemy, 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 enemy. Well, the same energy you expended spending 5 hours praying against enemy. Now that you are in a church where you are taught the word of God properly, convert the same energy to praying right. The same energy. Then on this extreme, you have grace. People who preach grace, grace is the grace of God. It's the grace of God. Get up and read your Bible. Well, God loves me if I don't read the Bible. Shut your trap. That's not what we're talking about. He loves you anyway. He loves the sinners too. So quit trying to give excuse. And that God is giving you something does not mean you will appropriate it automatically. Look at Deuteronomy 2. Let me show you something. Deuteronomy 2 and verse 24. Now I read to you. Deuteronomy 2 and verse 24. The Bible says, now God has given them, the Israelites, God's people has been given all these lands. He promised their papa Abraham. He promised their generation all these lands. But look at what happened. In Deuteronomy 2 verse 24, God said, rise up, take your journey, and pass over to River Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thy end what? Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to what? And do what? Wait a minute. I thought if he had given me, I had a need to battle for it. Listen, the goodness and the promises of God, all right, they are not like balls that fall off from the cherry on your laps. You have to go for it. They are within your reach. You stretch for it. Faith is that aqueduct through which the flood tide of grace flows through you. If you don't engage faith, listen, you will only know that you have it. But guess what? If you cannot use it, it's useless to you. So it begins with knowing, because even though if you have it, if you don't know you have it, it won't matter that you have it. And even when you now know you have it, it's important to learn how to use it and appropriate it for your use. This is the whole essence of the Faith Life Conference we're talking about. And this is something that will continue till Jesus comes. Say loud, amen. Amen. Because see, and that's what we call spiritual growth. Getting to know what you have, your privileges in Christ, and learning the principles to appropriate them. There's a positioning in the kingdom that makes you become beneficiary of all that God has made available for you. Are you learning something at all? So this is so important. So yesterday I began by teaching you on our normal. So faith is our normal. It's not an intermittent discharge. Some people, they only get to use their faith when challenges strikes. No, it's our normal. It's the way we live. And that's why it's so important for you to be in a congregation or among a church, or you belong to a community of believers that believe the same thing with you. Not people who drown your faith. People who talk doubt around you. I told you yesterday that your mind is at the mercy of sound. And the things you hear consistently will settle down in your heart. That's why scripture says, guard your heart with all diligence, because how to read out of it, she's alive. You got to belong to a local assembly where you'll be taught the word of faith consistently, where you build your faith. But when you can start hanging around for say, well, I'm at this country now, wow, I'm on, I don't tire, hey, hunger day everywhere, just scatter. Listen, the more you begin to talk that way, it becomes your experience. Because you're breathing a bad air around you. You know, I've been in church for so long, and I've been a pastor for many years. Now, this is my 11th year of pastoring. And I can tell you something so remarkable. People's experience are always directly proportionate to their belief. You can take what I just said to you now to the bank. I'm telling you, I've watched young people, I've watched older people, I've watched God's people over the years. You can never have an experience beyond the confines, the circumference of your belief system. For example, I grew up in the southwestern Nigeria before I came up north and afterwards left. One of the things I realized, people from my place, they have some superstitious belief that becomes a stronghold in their experience. For instance, somebody walks out in the morning, eats his right leg on the stone, says, today will be a bad day. Guess what? It becomes a bad day. Somebody wakes up and sees cobwebs, a wonderful animal enjoying itself. And you say, boy, my family people are against me again. Listen, the moment you start talking that way, and that's what we call fear. Let me tell you something. Fear is faith expressed negatively. Fear is acting on what you believe the devil can do against you. It is faith, and guess what? The expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. So you keep creating experiences that are not consistent with God's life for you. So it's your responsibility, therefore, let me tell you, after your salvation, the greatest decision you can make for yourself, even if it's under a tree that they are meeting. Listen, can I be honest with you? In our generation where we love all the click lights, we love all the, shining things, we love, cozy environment, AC and all that, you don't like to sweat the way I'm sweating. Can I be honest with you? You got to be careful. If it is under the tree they are meeting, if it is under a bacha, as long as the word of faith is touched, as long as you are knowing who you are in Christ, as long as you are seeing miracles, supernatural in that place, sit down there. Where are you going? Are you the devil roaming to and fro? The Bible says, those that are planted in the court of our God shall flourish. It is those who are planted. Be planted. See, Brackenet say, and I quote, God's intention is always the local church. That's God. Look, God has God's most amazing institution on earth today is the local church. The church of God. It is a system of protection. It is a system of pastoral oversight. It is, you see, the reason why some people, all right, they get under several attacks that they don't have the faith to shield, that they would have been shielded from if they were in a community of believer, firebrand community, that they would have been shielded away from. It's because they are alone. This is so important. You see, I was watching Nat Geo Wild some days ago. Some time ago, it's been a little while tuning in the TV, and I saw how that, have you noticed? It was a video of, was it leopard? I think it's leopard. The leopard came hunting. No, it's lion. Came hunting. He was fighting a dog, a wild dog, and all the other wild dogs showed up. They surrounded the lion. Guess what? They were already eating him up already until another one showed up before they left. It turns out that none of us is actually powerful alone. There is something called the corporate anointing. And see, these are interactions in the spirit. You have to understand what I'm talking about. These are signals. These are atmospheres that people carry. When we gather like this, for example, faith is built up. Prayer meetings, you are there. You hear what my father and the Lord said? Prayer meeting, you are there. Conference, you are there. Sunday, you are there. Tuesday, you are there. You go to the website again, cornerstoneglobal.org/messages. You check there. You see tapes there, you download. You listen. Your ears is always plugged in. You are hearing the word on the go. You are washing your clothes, you're hearing the word. You are bathing, you're hearing the word. You are living by the word every day. Faith will come supernaturally natural. We don't try to believe. Plug into the word. Faith will come. Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ that is preached. Because the word of faith is preached. You got to hear it. Faith doesn't come by you trying to muster faith for something. Faith comes by hearing. Stop trying to believe God. Sit down with the word. Let the word sink in. As you keep hearing the word, keep hearing the word, keep hearing the word, it will reach a crescendo. You will believe. This is the importance of this conference. Like I told you, much more than the miracles, much more than the healing. Listen, if you get the capital of God's word, that's why I love the last person who gave the testimony. She said, thank God for the miracles, but much more she's thanking God for the light that's going to sustain her. See, listen, God's word is our sustenance. It's our normal. Praise God forevermore. Because you see, let me tell you, and I was telling you yesterday about the concept of normal. That there are some things that we have accepted and assented to as normal, that they are not actually normal. Only Adam and Eve understood that death is not normal. But because over the centuries, over the decades, over the millennia, we've been seeing people dying, so we have accepted it as normal. And I'm not saying that you can do without dying if Jesus doesn't come. But what I'm trying to let you know is that an occurrence can actually be widely accepted as normal, and yet it is not normal. It therefore means that, all right, popularity does not always mean true. So just because the world accepts it as normal doesn't mean it is normal. For example, there are those who say things like, well, there are some challenges that you cannot do without as a believer. Well, the point I want to make is this. Listen. Nobody's experience is above the written word of God. Someone say, are you now more righteous than Mr. Apostle, Reverend, Doctor, XYZ, that had this challenge? That, listen, people's experience should not define your experience. Because you don't know God's leading with them. You don't know God's dealings with them. Shut your mouth. Get into the word. Be convinced of the truth in it. And let your faith begin to speak. We don't talk to believe. We talk out of having believed. We also believed, and therefore we spoke. Can you see what I'm saying here? And that faith that we speak, first of all, comes by hearing. So there are certain things we have, for example, lack. Listen, I understand that there are some natural things that can affect the experiences of our life. For instance, if you are born in Nigeria, I say this in all humility, you have to live by faith. You just never can tell. There can be hold up between that place, and you'll be there for the next 5 hours. And all your plans, phew. So you have to live in Nigeria, you have to live by faith. A country where 92% are living below poverty line. Do you know what that means? That means an average person in Nigeria cannot afford a malaria drug. So you have to live by faith. So listen, that you are born in Nigeria, you should go after the word of faith. Don't go there and start behaving like the American guys. You go and be listening, going. You start. Are you in Singapore? You want to go and be watching the pastor in Singapore? And Oyinbo people on Facebook. I just want to thank God. I don't pray for it. Listen, there are many things they don't pray for. But God did it anyway. Yeah, God did it anyway because they have good government. You have to live by faith than anywhere in the world. Statistics came out 2 days ago that Lagos is the second worst city to live in the world. And that's the city that most, in some villages in Nigeria, if a member of the village packs their load and goes to Lagos, they will do party. That, he has gone to Lagos. And on the world scale, it's the second worst. Listen, you need faith. Why do you need faith? Number one, you have an enemy to fight. The Bible says, whom you resist steadfast in the faith. Are you hearing me? There are things grace ordinarily alone cannot do for you. You're not going to fulfill purpose by grace alone. You will need some corresponding action. You can't resist the devil by grace alone. You will need to resist him steadfast in the faith. And faith uses words. Words of dominion. That's our modus operandi in the kingdom. It's our normal. Can't you see how God made all things become possibility in the physical? In Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, he spoke them into being. He is teaching you the normal because that's the realm you belong. We are belonging to that realm. We are heavenly panthers. We are associate of the God kind. We belong to the company of angels. We belong to the coming of the judgment of God made perfect. That's where we belong. This is the MO. This is how they operate. They use words. Learn to use words. You keep all those troubles on your feet. Are you hearing me? Somebody say, well, Pastor, I've been trying to get this thing. I've been saying it. Listen. You've been saying it and you haven't gotten it because your heart has not believed it. Someone says, so how am I going to believe? Well, just like that man in the Bible talking to the Lord, he says, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. You could be shouting, I believe, but it's full of unbelief, so how do you get to believe? I told you, sit down. When you hear the word, there is something I do, one of the secrets of my life I want to share with you. Can I be honest with you? There is nothing 100% anointed as the word of God. If you sit down with the word, do a word fast. Get all the tapes. Plug it in. Lock yourself in for the whole day. Sleep hearing it. How many of you hearing me preaching on the tape? Until you went to bed. And in your dream, you saw me preaching to you. Yeah, you got it. That's the way it works, sister. Because your spirit is never sleeping. So the world can be home. Some folks come visit you at home. They eat your amala. They eat your tuwo. They eat your food. While they are in your house, plug the tape in. They mustn't go away just like that. They must hear the word. And if you're not proud about sharing the materials of God, Christian materials, some people don't share tapes. They don't tell people how blessed they also been blessed. That's stinginess. So it is our normal to live by faith. They say, well, I wish I had enough money now. I'll be winning soon. You know what I observed? During the NSAS and the recent OB movement, I realized that evangelism is not as hard as we assume. Because if you could sorosoke at the NSAS in Nigeria, and I have never seen it on your wall that Jesus is Lord or never preached the gospel to anybody. You are always shy to talk whenever you are conveyed from one place to another in a public transport. You know what your problem is? Your problem is not that you are shy. Your problem is that you lack the sense of priority. You have not yet understood how important and potent the gospel on your lips is. You have not understood that the eternal destiny of other people is in your hands. Because the gospel that will save them from eternal death, you know it. How would you feel if somebody has the answer to a problem that will cause eternal damnation to others and refuse to give it? That's how stingy and wicked you are if you don't preach the gospel. This is so important. We're not in this thing for joke, bro. We may be young, but we are not really young, as it were. We got the ancient mind in us. Are you hearing me? This is so important. And let nobody quench your fire. Don't let nobody tell you, well, oh, so sweet you. I remember when I was small too, I was so for God. Like, stay away from those old people who tell you things like that. That I remember when I was small, I was so on fire like you. But now, how old is he? I'm now 45 now. I don't preach again. Those days when I was small, run away. Adeboye is 80. He still goes out on let's go fishing. Did you hear what I just said? Bracken Okopa is in his 80s, still preaching the word of faith like me. Now I'm going to be like him. Amen. Say amen for me if you love me. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. So don't let nobody quench your zeal for the Lord. Your youth age does not come back again. It comes only once. Use it for the Lord. Say, I use my youth age for the Lord. I propagate the word of faith by which many will be saved. Oh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. So faith is our normal. Look at Hebrews 11:3. Look at what the Bible says there. Hebrews 11:3. He says, through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He says, we know, we understand that the words. Now, the word words there means aeons. It means seasons. He says seasons were framed. That means you can frame the seasons of your life with words. The word aeon there means ages. Those are some of the synonyms. Ages, seasons. That means you don't like the season you are in. Look, all this, well, it's a season in my life. And you've been in that season for 20 years. Are you kidding me? You can change the seasons of your life. You have become the architect of your own life. Because God has implanted into you the same ability that rose Christ from the dead. The Bible says that that same power that rose him from the dead is in you. Listen, the power of God that brought out the dead body of Jesus from the grave and reanimated it with eternal life, that same power is in you. It's not a part of it. It's in you. But it won't do you no good if you don't employ that power. You see, and word gives direction to power. You can be so full of power and do nothing. I told you yesterday that a keg of gasoline can burn out this whole room. But that keg of gasoline, if you keep it here untouched for the next 100 years, it will do nothing. So potential energy is not enough. You need to convert to kinetic energy. You need to put it to work. Are you hearing me? So faith is the fire that you ignite to make the riches of grace come forth out of you. You have to go by faith. You take it by faith. Look at Caleb. He said, 40 years was I when the servant of God Moses told us, and I told him that this land, this mountain belongs to me. Now I am 85, and I am still strong as I was when I was 14. Give me this mountain. He didn't buy into the lily-hearted people. He went for the mountain at 85, and he took the land. Have a heart like Caleb. Refuse to cave in. Say, well, this is the experience in my family. It doesn't make no difference. Listen, let your background, refuse your background from putting your back on the ground. Forge forward. I'm trying to use examples because that's the field I belong to. Adeboye was from Ifewara. That man went to school without shoes. Do you understand? He treks several miles every day. Today, Orarobot University just a few weeks ago awarded him an honorary doctorate degree for his impact all over the world. That's the kind of man I want to see as an example. To behold and yet serving. To behold and yet doing great things for the Lord. Some of you are just 25. And you started singing, I can't keep myself, oh, this life, I can't keep. What have you done? What do you mean by you can't? What have you done? Oh, glory to God. And you know something? If you educate your spirit wrongly, you are creating a new normal for yourself. If you tell yourself, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't for long, your spirit will become, I can't. I can't spirit. That's how people grow so cold and they can't do nothing. And it is such people, they always look for position. Because that's the only way they can exact some, you know, Bishop Oedipo says there is no entitlement in titles. It is productivity. A worldly person once said, and I believe it, even though I don't believe her theology, Oprah Winfrey, she says, success is the greatest deterrent to sexism and gender inequality. Wow. That means nobody care whether you are a male or a female. You'll be a success. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. So faith is our norma. And because faith is our norma, all the experiences affordable by faith is our norma. Living in divine health is possible by faith. Therefore, living in divine health is supposed to be your normal. Any deviation from the normal, refuse it by faith. Don't educate your heart that it is normal. And you have to be careful with all this American gospel. Well, God is going through that stuff with you, brother. You can hold on for some more. And you've been holding on for 50 years. I feel so sorry for you because, you see, it's not faith. That is hope. And hope is a good expectator. If there's any English like that. Hope is a good expectant agent. Listen, hope is positive thinking. And you see, positive thinking can make you have good attitude while your boat is sinking. Glue, 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 glue. But it is faith that takes you up. Because faith is the answer. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, the seasons of life were framed by the word of God, the spoken word of God. Get into the movement. Get into the word. Get into the spirit of the word. Soaked in the word. Some of you, the practices that brought you where you are spiritually, you have dumped it. You are now a big girl. That's why you have never gone up. The moment you get bored with the basics, you are done. One of my great heroes in sports, because I used to play basketball. Two things I used to do that I stopped because of, but I will soon resume now the moment I become two. You get it? All right, if you don't get it, forget about it. All right, focus. I know you know. Focus. It's okay. Well, yeah, focus, focus. Two things I used to do before that I stopped doing because of ministry and I got so busy, you know, and stuff like that. I used to play basketball and I used to go to gym. I gymed last 2012. That was the last time I went to the gym last. Amen. Then basketball, whew, quite some time now, maybe 2017 or thereabout. Now, one of my great heroes in basketball, his name is Kobe Bryant. And Kobe Bryant was asked, you know, there was a time in 2007 when Nike, you know, they were going to have the first time Kobe Bryant's academic skill. So they brought all the best middle-class age basketballers. They brought them together. They wanted to have them train alongside with Kobe Bryant. Then Kobe Bryant, there was this particular instructor who was privileged to be part of those in that camp. So to his amazement, it was like, thank God, I have opportunity to see Kobe Bryant, the great Kobe Bryant. We're talking about the Black Mamba. That's his nickname. Wow, Kobe Bryant, man, he's the world's best basketballer. Man, he was so happy. So he walked up to him and said, sir, would you permit me to watch your intense practice skill? He says, sure, man, I'll be there by 4. So he quickly went to speak with the trainer and say, I want to see how he trains. If you're not a football basketballer, you understand why that is so important. Because if you see how he trains, all right, you can get skills too to get better. Because he's the world's best basketballer. So he wanted to just give him, you know, want to give him a surprise. So 3:50 or 3:30 thereabout, it was already there. To his amazement, it was still pitch dark out there, yet he was already hearing this, you know, deflecting of shoes and the bouncing of ball. Was like, wow, it was even here before the fall anyway. All right. He sat down and he was watching him practice. Boy. And he saw the guy for the first 45 minutes doing the very basic things that him, being an instructor, teaches to middle-aged students in the college in the U.S. So out of courtesy, he refused to ask him any question. Later in the day, now asked him, he says, sir, I was at your practice and your training. I realized that you were practicing so dummy little basic. He says, and Kobe Bryant looked into his eye and said, why do you think I'm the world best? Because I never get bored with the basics. Because according to that guy, he said he was amazed to see him practicing the basic things, but with surgical precision. For instance, growing up as kids, we were taught, read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Sounds basic, right? How many of you can boast of a complete 1 month of reading your Bible and praying daily? You see why you're not growing. See, this thing is simple.
It's even why you have remained on the same level of faith. The moment you drop the basic, probably in trouble. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So that some things have been accepted as normal does not mean it is normal with you. For example, in Genesis 1:6, we saw that God was the first person. God was the first person to partition water, right? And he was there teaching Moses in Exodus how to do the same. He tells him, he says, stretch your hands towards the sea and divide it. Come on, talk to me. In Acts 1, just focus. In Acts 1, we saw Jesus levitating. Listen, did you study physics? How can you levitate against gravity? We saw him levitate. He didn't disappear. The Bible says the cloud received him out of their sight. He was levitating. But prior to that time, you would always believe it is only birds that it is normal for them to levitate. Do you hear what I'm saying? You've been schooled in some things as normal because it has been widely accepted as normal. So the whole essence of teaching on faith in the first place is because of the fall of man. In reality, faith is our normal. The supernatural is our normal realm of existence.
Hallelujah. The supernatural is our normal realm of operation. So take for example, did you know that once upon a time, malaria was a deadly disease? I mean, one of the greatest human beings that ever lived, his name is Alexander the Great. It was reported that he died of malaria. A man who had conquered many nations. A man who was made to believe that he's a son of Zeus. That his blood is God. That man died of malaria. I mean, imagine. So right now, if somebody's asking you, you're not looking too good, don't worry, it's just small malaria. Really? 500 years ago, people were ostracized for having malaria. If you had malaria, that is the whole essence of GRA. Say, I'm living in GRA. 200-300 years ago, if you were living in GRA, you had malaria. They used to abandon people. It is called government reserved area, where they put people that are sick with malaria because they know it is a death sentence. And they don't want them to affect other people. Are you listening to me? What does that tell you? The very fact that there was once upon a time in human history that malaria was a deadly disease, that if you got malaria, you will be ostracized and be put in a place so that you will not affect other people. It's like a death sentence. And today now, if you're feeling sick, somebody say, how are you feeling? Well, it's just small malaria. The reason why we can believe that today, that malaria is no longer a big issue, is because humanity has been able to find solution to malaria. It therefore means that humanity will never live above the level of its knowledge. Now, are you going to live your life at the mercy of the knowledge of science? And just because science has not proven some things, and yet you can find it true to be in the Word of God, won't you rather believe the report of the Word? Doctor says you have X, but the word of God says you have A. Why don't you stand with A? Some say, well, that would look like I'm not logical. Oh, really? Tell me what is logical about parting the Red Sea. Tell me what is logical about walking on water. Do you understand what it means when Elisha throws a stick to make iron float on water? Didn't you study physics? There are many abnormal things. It is abnormal because you've been schooled in the school of abnormality. I told you, the faith life is the normal for the believer. It is. And that's what we're training you in it, so you can walk in it. The training wouldn't have even been necessary if not for the fall of man. Because that's our normal. Only Adam and Eve understood what it means to live in a realm where there is no abnormality. But when you came into Christ now, you now have the capacity. And having the capacity is not equal to having the experience. Come on. A baby girl that is born today has the capacity to be a mother. But she can't be a mother that day. All the vital elements required for her to be a mother, she has it. And forget all those people that are doing LGBT. All right, I understand that the month of June in America, because we have people watching on YouTube, I understand they are doing what they call Pride Month. Let me be honest with you. Listen, Jesus is coming soon. In America, they don't let children dictate or determine what they are. So you can't tell your child is a male or a female. Let him go to discover. Are you kidding me? Listen, zoom. Listen, can I be honest with you? If you are a male child and you choose to say you want to be a woman, go get you some butts, like a guy called Bob who just did a housewarming now. And I don't want to know, if you are young in Nigeria, if you don't know what I'm saying, it can be risk for you not to know. But here's the point I want to make. Listen, can I be honest with you? Look, if you die, 200 years later, if they dig out your bone, your hip bone, it will show that you were once a male. So stop deceiving yourself. One of the things that shows the clear difference between a male child and a female child is the hips. Go and Google it, check it, it's there. If you like, you transgender, your hips, the woman's hips is wider, is there. You can't run away from your shadow. You were born that way, embrace it. God made you that for a purpose. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. So, you have to know, as I summarize, that we live in two worlds. You are a natural being in the sense of you live in a body, but you are also a spiritual being. So, you have to learn to shuttle between these two worlds, because the natural world is a slave to the spiritual world. See, and occultic people know this thing so well. How do you explain somebody is angry, Mr. A is angry with Mr. B, and he goes to one baba wearing red with chalk on his face, and he comes with the picture of that person, and he speaks certain words, and the other person on the other part feels the effect. Because they know that you don't have to hold gun to shoot person. You just need to exert yourself to some spiritual hocus pocus and the person will feel the impact. Why are God's people so ignorant of this thing? When we are truly the heritage of this faith thing, this spirit thing, because we are the one, listen, oh boy, it saddens me when believers jettison the importance of taking the spiritual life more important. Can't you see? And you want to be a great man in this world of wickedness. And you don't want to live by faith. Continue. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Let me give you an example. Look at Genesis 27, 36. I'm sure you all know the drama between Jacob and Esau. Huh? Come on, talk to me. I said, I hope you all know the drama between Jacob and Esau. Such that it became a real fight. What was the fight all about? Look at what the father said. Don't forget, Isaac was the custodian of Abrahamic blessing. And by tradition, Esau was supposed to get it. Now, number one thing you learn from that story is that it is possible in the spirit realm, just because the mom loves Jacob, he swerves the guy's destiny. Listen, this thing is real, though.
And what were they fighting for? Look at verse 27. The Bible says, and he said, is not the rightly named Jacob, for he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, has thou not reserved a blessing for me? 37. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all the brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And there is no record in scripture. Look at what we just read now. In Genesis 27, 37, Isaac was telling Esau that, look, I have sustained Jacob with corn and wine. And I read the whole scripture down the line. There was nowhere recorded in scripture that Isaac gave, Jacob corn and wine. Yet, he said he has sustained him with corn and wine. But the only thing we read he gave to him were what? Words. So that means they understand the fact that you can be sustained by prophetic word. This book is the book of prophecy. There are things written about you inside. If you will get inside of you, it will make you a success anywhere. You become a formidable force. You become indestructible. You become unquenchable. You leap through the wall. You challenge status quo. You change the norm. You become unstoppable with the word of God in your spirit. And your faith begins to speak. And in that speaking, releases the power to bring into reality what you desire. This is the faith life we're called into. So there is a realm where words can shape the experiences of one's life. This is the message we are preaching to you. That in this earth realm, you must master this skill. Apostle James tells us in James 3 and verse 2, he says, if any man offend not in words, the same is a matured man. In other words, a vital way to measure spiritual maturity is mastery in the use of words. You as a believer shouldn't be going about saying things like, well, laugh won't kill me, die. Well, man, this baby girl is killing me. You don't want to die. Someone say, well, it doesn't matter. Really? Master, pastor, you're taking it too high. Excuse me? Have you ever found anywhere in scripture where Jesus said a thing? Then the next verse, Jesus says, sorry, I was just joking. What are you talking about? What you say must be the testimony of your faith. It must be consistent with what you have believed. Your words must simply be an affirmation of what you have believed in your heart. And listen, people have confusion in their faith walk because there is no alignment with what they believe and what they think with what they say. Until there's this alignment in these three realms, your words, your thoughts, and your belief, until they're in alignment, your faith is still not growing. You haven't grown faith. You are still a babe. That's what I'm saying. This is so important. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are you learning something at all? I think I should come to a close now. You know, sometimes some people ask me, okay, pastor, I've been facing a challenge for so long. You know, some people will say, pastor, well, I've been facing this challenge for so long. Are you trying to tell me that faith is still the answer? Yeah, it is. Emphatically, yes, it is. So, okay, I understand. So, pastor, how am I going to solve it? How did God solve it? Ephesians 5:1 says, be ye imitators of God. What is God's MO of facing troubles? Abi, do not God also had troubles in scripture? The Bible says in the book of Psalms 2, verse 1, that there were some people that were cooking up evil against God's salvation plan. He says, why do they eat in rage? Why do they plan evil against God and his anointed? The Bible says in verse 4, look at God's response to his enemy. He says, he that sits in heaven shall laugh. See, listen, when you are faced with a challenge, the first thing that challenge you want to affect is your emotions. You'll be destabilized. And with that, you will create a room for demonic influence. So the first thing you must do, therefore, when you are faced with challenges, burst out with laughter from your inside. And as you laugh from your spirit, God will give you rhema, spoken word of power that will bring change. Shout amen, somebody. This is how you make a change in your life. You face with troubles, go into laughter. Laugh! Glory to God. And then you see words will swell out from your inside that will change the situation. Laugh! Another way again, I'm showing you, this is school of the spirit. Are you learning something? Another thing again is learn to sing. A lot of people don't know how to sing. I don't mean you have to have a sonorous voice. You don't have to be Pastor Sandra, or you don't have to be Sister Joy, or you don't have to be any of those people. Or Sinach, or Ada. You don't have to have a trained voice. If you have a music career, train your voice. So, but when it comes to spiritual warfare, Satan does not know fine voice. He does not even know English. Apostle Ayababalola, I was told, wants to cast out demon from somebody who is an English-speaking person. And they brought the person and he says, demony went out. That's wrong English. But the demon left. Organ of the English, oh. Organ of power, oh. Organ of power, oh. Organ of power, oh. Let me tell you something. Do you know that language is what we call it? If all of us all over the world today believes that Satan get out means Satan, ha ha ha. If everybody believes that is the meaning of go out, the next time Satan shows up and says Satan, ha ha ha, he will leave. It's not in how you can dot the dot and cross the T's. It's in the power. Can't you see Adeboye? My dad, he doesn't sweat the way I sweat. And he just wear bow tie with shekere. Daddy, you know the story in the book of Genesis. And even you know how David defeated Goliath. You all know the story. We've known that story since we were small. That's what Daddy will be sharing again. You all know David, how he... Daddy just told me that there is somebody here, 1 billion went out of your account. And the next day, you hear people saying, praise the Lord. When Baba Adeboye said 1 billion, I just received it. I'm like, wait. I don't understand. I have never seen him sweating. Now, it doesn't mean sweating is wrong. Don't start looking at me like, glory to God. By the way, one of his sons too sweats. Oyedepo sweats. Amen. And he also claims he's one of his best sons. Glory to God. And by the way, by spiritual lineage, is my grandfather. Yes, because he's a father to Bishop Francis Waluke, who is a father to Pastor Shegun Obaje, who is my father. So I'm in that generation. And if you are my son too, you are in that lineage. You are blessed. With the blessing of the Father. So when I bless you, picture Adeboye. Do you understand? It's the same grace on Abraham was on Jacob. The same grace on Abraham was on Isaac, was on Jacob. He said, I'm the God of the Father. See, God is a God of family. Yeah, he's a God of family. So he calls himself, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he's the God of Adeboye, Walioke, Obaje, and Amuson. And you. Hallelujah. The same God is rich unto all. I said the same God is rich unto all. Yeah. So sing. Zephaniah 3:17, you know the scripture. He says, the Lord thy God in the midst of you is mighty. He will sing. He will rejoice over you with singing. This was the prophetic word of Zephaniah about the salvation plan of God. He says, the Lord thy God in the midst of you is mighty. He will save. But he has saved now. He says, he will rejoice over you with singing. Zephaniah 3:17. Now, if he was rejoicing about you, what should you that he was rejoicing about be doing? Rejoicing. Many have never pictured a singing God because Nollywood has damaged their picture about who God is. They show them a white man with white beard, angry with staff, always walking. He's so weak, he has to hold a stick. Is that the God they are picturing to you? The angry God, sinner in the hand of the angry God. Which angry God? Not the God of the Bible. He's a singing. He says, look at it. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will say, we'll rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. You see, my voice is good. He will joy over thee with singing. You see why I told you don't have to have a good voice to sing. Learn to wake up and sing. Just sing. Just dance to the Lord. Are you hearing me? I told you 2 days ago that when you are in the spirit, in the spirit, when you are in the spirit and by the spirit, you can bet certain expressions by the spirit. And there is no monopoly of expression. It can be a shout, shout. It can be a dance, dance. Listen, shouting is nothing, but not when inspired by the spirit. When inspired by the spirit, it can bring down a 60 by 40 feet of Jericho's wall. Are you hearing me? Dancing and praying is nothing, but not when you are in a jail cell and you prayed and danced, you have a supernatural jailbreak like John and Peter. The Bible says, whatsoever you do in words and in deed. In words and in deed. So learn to sing. Give me Ephesians 5. Let me close. Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Hey, Papa, hey, hey, Mama, Papa, hey. Some place I eat my mouth. I want if you are in my room sometimes, if you watch me, if you are the one who sang this song, you can sue me. Because I will have murdered your song. But the thing is, I'm very smart. I know how to put my own word inside, even when I don't know. You don't have to know all of them. Huh? He says, wherefore be not unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, he now says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. In English language, you don't compare two things that are diametrically different. The same way you can be drunk with wine is telling you that you can also be drunk with the spirit. You can tell yourself, say, "Bo, I dey go kakaki, I won't go sha." Don't try it. Don't try this at home. All right? It's the same way you can say, "Bo, I'm going home now, lock myself up. I want to be drunk in the spirit." And it tells you how, because be filled there is a continuous tense. The word be in the original Greek is not be. It is be being. Be being. Be being filled. Be continuously filled. And it tells you how in verse 19. Oh, I love it in verse 19. He says, speaking to you. Someone says, speaking. That's number one. Write it down. How to be filled with the Spirit. Number one, speaking. Speaking. Now, notice he says, speaking to yourselves. Now, he was talking to people. So he says, speaking to yourself. Some translations say, speaking to one another. Wrong. The original doesn't say, speaking to one another. It is speaking to yourselves. That means you speak to your own self. That person speaks to themselves. Speak to your own self in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs there are when you give melody to your tongues. Take me to the studio, Pastor Sandra. Say, I'm speaking in tongues, but I'm putting melody. Hey, you see, I'm singing in the spirit. Then he goes on. He says, singing and making melody in your heart. This one, you are not even singing it out. It's a melody in your heart. Like you wake up in the morning, you are in the bedroom, the shower is there, you would soak. You are just there. You are putting, you know, Vaseline. Or you go and get the nice cream from She's Alone. She has the nice cream. All right, you just.
And then you are just there dancing. You take your bed, you wear your clothes. And then the next thing, what do? You're going out. Everybody says, what's happened today? Just, Brother Joy, Brother Uncle, Brother John. What do they worry that day? Every dinner, what do you do? From the room, you go see, but yeah, but you go just this dance, just this shout, just this sing with joy, all that. You know, and that's why she's looking young. And it's true. Some people are older than their age because every time. So they have formed wrinkles. You know, there's a way you form a wrinkle on your face that for some time later on, it will stop to go back. So it will remain there. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You guys have to get a better stuff, huh? See, I'm an American preacher, bro. Praise God forevermore. Singing melody in your heart to the Lord. Were you blessed? Is your faith stirred up? Is anything possible to you now? Can you make a change in your health? Can you make a change in your body? In your finances? In your maritals? In your relationship? How about your future? Can you make a change? I want to give you 2 minutes now to talk. Rise on your feet in faith now. I thought you would come out and stand out with voracious voice. Come on. 2 minutes. Come on. Hey! Hey! Bakaya badegedebaya. I have said before you life and death. Choose life, the Bible says. Bakaya badeketelebohobaha. Are you praying? Are you praying? Are you praying? Hey!
Are you praying at all? You can make a change now. Speak to your health. Speak to your finances. Marakabata yagabada. Hey! Materebokosi yagadabaya. Kumba, kumba. 1 more minute. 1 more minute. Are you speaking now? Hey! Hey! Raketeleborobosi yagadagada. Wante, bayakabada, herabate kelebodosi agada. Hey, power to heal, maketele, banto bokobaha, reketele bokwaya. Power, are you making it available now? 30 more seconds. Are you speaking to your future? Are you speaking to your body? Are you speaking to your finances? Reketele bokwa de ke yigadabada. Robata capate que telebede Maredo, 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 Maredo Marabata cabayaha Marata cabayabaha. Oh, precious God, precious God. Kima la matomba lakaya Kila matomba tabaaya Marabate que te kelebada. Hey, begin to prophesy now. Begin to prophesy. Hey, kila batoko rabaya, hey abado to rabaya gada, efrando kola maya manegeda bayada, aya 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 aya, hey, iya mantolima agado do sakaya bade, legede bado shada maya. Akitoza, akitoza. Iyagada doze. Shalamana mayanana. Shamana manana manana. Oh, there is oh. Dana suti yakadabada yadada. Hey, there is oh. Yanamataga shada. Ayabadoza, ayabadoza, ikayabado, shilamanda yado, eyabada dogo sodarabaye, eyabaya daga yabada. Holy fire, riyamaya maya ya, hey, lido barate, mantorogo sakataya. I see an angel of the Lord touching somebody over there. Ushers, please get ready. The spirit of grace and supplication. Kaya mateke teko bakabaya da. Maraba teke lebo kobakaya. Rekoma teke igada. Your altar is on fire now. Fresh horn. Fresh
fresh zeal, fresh grace, fresh oil. I quicken callings. I quicken the grace of God in your life now. I activate the blessings. Take that which is within and bring it adorn. Bring that which is within. Bring it upon. From within to upon. Stir up the gift of God. Rebataka yagada. Ebara sote. Oza, oza, ya 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 ya. Aya ya ya. Asha, aya, bata. Eko la maya nana. Oh, ya bateke le baradoko baya. It's the reign of the Holy Ghost. Bita badobe ya kabada bade ya da da da. Agbara, 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 agbara. Hey, hey, manano no moki abade. I am the children that the Lord has given me in Cornerstone Christian Center. We have all signs and wonders. A little one is 1,000. A small one is a strong nation. Marakataka yagada. There is no small person among you here. We are a nation. A people set upon the hill. We cannot be eaten. Are you praying? Oh, 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 hey, ah, hey, ah, hey, ah, ah, you can speak about your unborn children. You can lay your hands on your womb. Kabaya, rateke bayagada. You will give birth to Samuel. You will give birth to Isaac. You will give birth to Jesus. You are Mary. You are pregnant with Jesus. It cannot be aborted. Bara kaba. Hera bataka yagada. Your children will live for the Lord. Marate kita labakaya. You can groan in the spirit for them now. They will step into that environment when they come. Rabateke yege de boye kadabaya. Aya. Hey! Aya ya 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 ya. Hey rabaya kete ya kadabaya. Hey umarado. Hey radoko sabaya baya. Kia barado seta labaya gada. Hey! He has opened the floodgate of heaven on you, and is raining upon you grace and supplication. Ikaya bada barado, umaya ya barada baya. Yes, I hear in my spirit. It is done. It is done. Somebody, it is done. Rejoice! Give the Lord a shout! Come on, give the Lord a shout! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! How many of you, you felt your faith alive as we were praying? You see, you can. There's something called practicing the presence. You see, it has become a capital in your spirit in this conference. You take that same atmosphere and you keep replicating it. I told you, I said the things of the spirit can be replicated. It is a systematic thing. There's nothing mystical about the spirit realm in this kingdom. As spiritual as salvation is, you can make it happen every day. In the same vein, the things of the spirit, there is no miracle or supernatural that is higher than salvation, yet you can make it happen every day. In the same vein, by the spirit within, you can bring that which is within and you bring it upon. You stir it up. It is called anazapurio in Greek. You stir it up, you bring it up. You can practice the presence in your home. You are not the one praying for his presence. You are the one yielding yourself for the presence to be made manifest. The presence is with you everywhere. You carry his presence everywhere. And that's why you can stand up and say, I walk miracles. I perform miracles. I have power. Why? Because one who gives power lives in you. Therefore, if there was nothing impossible with him, nothing is impossible with you. Because faith brings you to the endless possibility realm of God. The Bible says with God all things are possible. And the same master said it again that all things are possible to him that believe. So your believing, your faith brings you to the God realm of possibilities. You are unstoppable. Many of you don't know. You are stronger than you think. You are. You just need someone to stir up the fire. That's what I just did to you. In church, what we are doing basically is to show you what you have and help you ignite it and set you on the course. Because no matter how pregnant you are, you need a midwife to help you. So no matter how much of God's deposit in you, you need a ministry gift. And I believe I'm one of those in this kingdom. And I'm here to help you take this thing from within. Enough of prophecy and...
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.